Let's bring in Shai Davidi, our MLB insider from Sportsnet. So, Shai, what is the latest on Jose Bautista's situation with the Blue Jays?
Well, I think you just ran it down pretty well there. I think they're just sort of sorting through the final details, trying to figure out which structure is going to make the most sense for them and how it's going to work. But it is a really intriguing contract on a number of levels for both sides. It hasn't been the offseason that either side has particularly wanted or hoped for. And now the interests are aligning and seemingly bringing them back together.
And let's be honest here. I mean, without revealing sources or anything, the scuttlebutt around Toronto, and when I say scuttlebutt, people who are in the know, people who claim to have some sort of knowledge of how the Blue Jays and Bautista do business, up until the middle of last week, you really got the sense, Shai, that there wasn't a great deal going on. In point of fact, anytime a report came out, your initial reaction was almost to just say, well, this is Jose's agent, Jay Alou, trying to create a market where one may not exist or where one has been depressed. But it really does seem as if both sides have taken a step back and have looked at this. And I would almost say it's almost like they punted, to borrow a football analogy. It's almost like they punted in making a hard decision here.
Well, you know, if you look at it, I mean, you're right. I mean, the scuttlebutt has certainly been that. You know, I spoke to someone with some pretty good knowledge of the situation on Thursday, and they just said, look, he's not in their plans. And obviously something has changed. This makes too much sense for both sides, right? I mean, Jose Bautista isn't going to be appreciated anywhere else as much as he is in Toronto. I mean, he has a sense of his place within the franchise history. I think he'd very much like to take a run at some of Carlos Delgado's career hitting numbers in terms of home runs and RBIs and things of that nature. You know, he wants a spot on that wall of excellence, and you know, if he hasn't earned it already, which he very well might have. And if you look at this from the Blue Jays' perspective, I mean, they're at the point where they're trying to extend their competitive window, and they need an impact guy. That competitive window right now looks to be at least 2 years. That's the time that you have Josh Donaldson for. And they're not going to be able to do better than Jose Bautista right now if you look at that market. I think they explored all their trade options. Nothing presented itself. And now they're at the point where Jose Bautista was the right fit, and it seems like it could be for the right term.
And, you know, I think when Mark Shapiro talked to Stephen Brunt and myself on Friday, one of the things that I think was driven home, that I asked him about possibly trading a Vladimir Guerrero Jr., for example, their top prospect for a player, whether it's Andrew McCutchen or whomever. And essentially, he said he sounded a little bit like Jeff Weltman of the Raptors when he said, look, you still have to keep an eye on the long-term future as well as the immediate future. But he also kind of indicated that, you know, how did he word it exactly? He said, you probably don't make that move if you think you have a very long jump to get to a championship team. And I kind of took that to mean that the Jays were perhaps loath to move any of their minor league prospects until they see where they are at the trade deadline. And if they're in first place or, you know, secure in a wild card spot or in the wild card spot, whatever, then perhaps the equation changes a bit. But as we sit here right now in the winter, I think the organization wants to keep its young players and its young pitchers.
Well, I think the other thing you have to look at is if you're trading away prospects for a player, how much better is that player than what you're going to get on the free agent market, right? And so if the gain isn't substantial enough and the control isn't substantial enough, then why would you give up assets when you can replicate similar production for nothing but money in free agency? So I mean, that's a big part of the equation here too, right? Is that if, you know, they looked at guys like Andrew McCutchen and Charlie Blackman, and before it was traded Adam Eaton, and a lot of the guys who got moved, you know, even to some degree Seth Smith and Jared Dyson, none of those things panned out. And so you're left with the decision, do we overpay in trade, or do we spend money in free agency? And I think when you get to that point, obviously you'd rather keep the assets, make the play in free agency, and then you have assets in July if you need, where you can reexamine your options.
Okay, Shai, you've I know that every article you've written in the Blue Jays this off season, every article has included a kind of a running tally of where the payroll is and how much they have to spend. So let's operate under the assumption that they come to an agreement with Marcus Stroman before they go to a hearing. Let's factoring all that in, the raises players are going to get. Let's give Jose Bautista $18 million this year. What does that leave Mark Shapiro in terms of wiggle room? How much money does he have left?
Well, in guarantees, it's only a 300K swing on Stroman between ask and offer.
Right.
So you're looking at about, the Blue Jays are sitting at about $132 million in guarantees. Then you have to factor in about $5 million for 0-3 guys. So you're looking at about 137, and if Jose's at 18, then that's about 155. And if they're about $160 million, it leaves them $5 million to play with. So, clearly... they're going to be taking or shopping a little bit in lower or value aisles for a backup catcher and a left-handed reliever. That would figure the bulk of the money would go to the left-hander with a little bit being spent on backup catcher. I think the one-year $1.5 million deal for Chris Iannetta from the Diamondbacks really set the market for the backup catchers and for the guys that are left. So, that's where they're going to, probably the range you're going to spend on the backup catcher with the rest going to a lefty.
And what do you think this does for the possibility of bringing in, let's say, a Brandon Moss, adding another left-handed bat to the lineup?
Well, I don't think at this point that they'd have the room or from a roster perspective or from payroll to bring in another such player. I think the decision... The debate, the inner debate that the Blue Jays were having was, do you get like someone like a Moss or a Michael Saunders, and then perhaps another platoon, a platoon partner, and then spread the wealth around, and then spend a little bit more on your left-handed reliever or whatever the case is. But clearly, the Blue Jays have decided that Bautista is the guy who's going to give them the most impact for their buck, and that appears to be the way things are trending right now.
All right, Jose Bautista has a lot of baggage. Some of it, let's face it, baggage both ways, good and bad. And, I don't think that's telling tales out of school. And I know the fans who are Jose Bautista fans are tired of hearing that. But, the fact of the matter is he is, shall we say, a challenging personality. How do you think this move will be greeted in the clubhouse and in the manager's office?
I don't think it's going to be a problem at all. I think guys will probably be excited about it at this point because, they weren't going to do better than Jose Bautista. And I've spoken to quite a few executives who think that Jose Bautista has a really big year in him coming up. And if you get that Jose Bautista who can really dominate the game, even if he's just slightly better than what he was last year. You're getting an impact guy, and you can't challenge that production. And this is a group that is in its win now window. They need his production, and so I think they're going to be happy because I don't think there are a lot of guys who are going to be able to give you what Jose should be able to deliver in 2017.
Let me throw this out there. We know that at least in some of the early discussions JLU had with teams, that one of his selling points was that Jose would be willing to maybe move out of the outfield, not just DH, but perhaps play a bit of first base, but perhaps play a little bit of third base. They talked to to at least a couple of National League teams about that. And I don't know if I'd say they tried to market him as kind of a Ben Zobrist type player because they don't exactly profile the same. But the idea was that you would be getting a guy who didn't absolutely need to be your right fielder on an everyday basis, that perhaps he would be amenable to moving. So I look at the Blue Jays right now, look at their first base situation. I think it's safe to say Kenrys Morales is the everyday DH. Shai, do you see any way at all that Jose Bautista ends up being, let's say, the everyday first baseman in this team, and that Steve Pierce goes to the outfield, or that there is somebody else in the outfield? And I understand for that to happen, you would probably have to put a deal together for Justin Smoke.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of moving parts that have to happen there. And really, the the need right now is in the outfield. It's not so much at first base. And, you know, who's taking all those at bats in the outfield, right? So, I mean, I can see some sort of combination of Pierce, Carrera, Upton in left field, and then Batista in right, maybe, along with Kevin Pillar. And then, you know, Pierce slotting in at first base with Justin Smoke. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably the most likely scenario. I mean, once you get beyond next year, if it is a two-year deal that he's back for, I think at that point you can certainly start examining different options. But the other thing to keep in mind is that Steve Pierce is coming off surgery on his elbow, and, you know, how much is he going to be able to throw? Is it going to be too much to ask for him to play the outfield on an everyday basis? And that certainly has to factor into your roster configuration.
Better team now than they were at the end of the season?
I don't know that. I mean, certainly they're different, and having some balance in the middle of the lineup in Kendrys Morales will help. And I had an interesting chat with Russell Martin Saturday at the Baseball Canada banquet, and he was making the point that it's really hard to hit 30 home runs in Kansas City. And Morales has played his whole career in bigger ballparks and AL West and AL Central. And he was wondering how much, you know, hitting in the American League East, not just at the Rogers Center, but also in all the other AL East parks, would spike his numbers. And so having a left-hander in there to balance out the lineup, there's some more flexibility with Pierce. I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting team, and a lot, I think, ultimately depends on whether there's still some upside in Aaron Sanchez and Marcus Stroman. And if those two guys take a step forward, then they could end up a better team than they were last year.